Pasuk begins, "Va'atot tzavas b'nei Yisrael, and you should command the b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu eilecho shemen zayis zoch, clear oil, kosis lamar, pressed for lighting, lahalos ner tamid. Bring out a ner tamid ba'ol mayed michutz la'paroiches asher ala edus, outside the curtain." That's over the Luchos HaEdus, the Arayin. Yarech HaSe'aron Uvonav, Me'erev Adboikel of Hashem. Chukas Olam L'Deiroisim Yez B'nei Yisrael. So the Kliyokar asks, why is the Torah so Meirich exactly where the neighbors were? Ba'olam Mayi, Michutz La'Paroiches, Asher Ala Edus. Yarech HaSe'aron Uvonav, Me'erev. Because you just said it's right near, you know, it's either near the Mizbeach Zohav or near the Shulchan or whatever. But it has to tell me it's Bedavki in front of, outside of the Paroiches Asher Alo Eidus. Why is it necessary to mention the Paroiches that's on the Arim? So the Kliyoka says the following. There's a famous Gemara Masech, the Shabbos, the Chol Beis and Beis. It asks a question about the lighting of the Menorah. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need our light? We should light up the building for him. All 40 years that the Yidden were in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lit up the way for us. So why was it necessary now to light the menorah in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu where the Shechinah dwelled? So the Gemara says it's a braisa. It's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs our light. Ela edus hi l'boi oylam. It's an edus to those in the world, that the Shechinah rests in Klal Yisrael, because miraculously, the Menorah went on constantly. The Ner Maravi, there's a shaila of what that candle was exactly, but the Ner Maravi had the exact amount of oil as the other candles, and yet, well after the other candles were extinguished, this Ner Maravi lit on B'derech Neis. You know, we make something out of the Neiris Chanukah that were B'derech Neis, but the Ner Maravi was an Neis that burned constantly. So that's Eidus Hili Yisrael. So Dr. Kliyoka, that's why the Torah is telling us over here, Mechutz La'Proiches Asher Alo Eidus. Goofed to be Meramis to this. Because the Shechina rested Mibein HaKruvim behind the curtain. So if you lit the menorah, the light couldn't get in there anyway because the curtain was blocking it. So that's the biggest raya, that the purpose of the Yor is not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to light up for the Shechina. Elamai, so what is the purpose? The purpose is Eidus Ulubai Yailam. And that shows the ahava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael, that the purpose of the lighting of the menorah is to show that the Shechina dwells within Klal Yisrael. V'osisa es me'il ha'eifoi kolu t'cheles. You should make the me'il, the robe, kolu t'cheles, totally t'cheles. The Gemara Masech Tzvachim Daf Peches Amid Beis, and also it's a Gemara in Erechin Daf Tzayin Amid Aleph. It says that the Me'il was Mechaper for the Aveira of Lashon Hara. Yovei Dover Shebekoil was something that makes a sound come, because we know that there were little Pamoinim, there were little bells on the bottom of the Me'il. It made a sound. So let the garb that makes a sound come V'yechaper Al Ma'isa HaKoil. And it will be mechaper for Lashon Hara, which is done with a voice. So you have to understand, it's one thing if the Me'il would talk, so you could say, Yovei Dover Shebedibur V'yechaper Al Dibur. Makes a tingling sound. So what does that have to do with speaking Lashon Hara? It's a totally different thing. So Yaakov Galinsky Zatzal said that we find that Rabbi Yeruchim Lavovitz, the Mirror Mashgiach, asked a similar Ha'ara. The Gemara in that very Gemara in Masech Tzerechim Daf Tzayin Amid Beis asks a question: why by a Mitzayra does the Torah say he has to bring Shtei Tziporim, two birds, as a carbon to purify himself? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who osa maise potit? He did an action of chirping, of chattering. So l'fichach amar Torah yavei carbon potit. He should bring a carbon of birds that they also chirp, they also chatter. So again, Rabbi Yeruchim asked the question over there, the birds don't speak Lashon Hara, the birds don't speak, they don't articulate anything, they make a sound. Right? So what in the world does that have to do with the Aveira of Lashon Hara, which is a Dibur, where a fellow besmirches others and a fellow says bad things about others? Like, what's it got to do with the chirping of the birds? You see from over here that the Shoyrish, the root of the Aveira of Lashon Hara, is not the saying bad things about people. It starts before that. If a fellow lets his mouth go, that alone is the problem. A person has to know that his mouth is number one, the Davar Shebekdusha. And the Davar Shebekdusha, you don't just let it, you know, flow. And he has to also realize that his mouth is like a loaded gun. Mavis v'chayim biyad haloshen. A loaded gun, you know, you're very careful, a person's very careful with. Right? If a person knows that there's mavis v'chayim biyad haloshen, there's life and death totally in the loshen, then the best thing is just don't use it. Stay away from the chirping, even stay away from being mafkir your mouth. Stay away from saying things that, even the things that are not so damaging. So the avlo mitzvah, the person is, that he started making the sounds like a chila. A mouth is to be used only when totally necessary. When not necessary, the mouth is a davar shebekdusha. Milo bechad, the Gemara says, milo bechad, if a word is worth one coin, mishteikin betray, then silence is worth two coins. We've been given the power of silence. It's a gevaldik koyach. Siyog la chachma shtike. If you want the mind to work, you want the chachma to develop in the mind, shtike, silence is a gevaldik zach. When we have to speak, we have to daven, we have to say divrei Torah, you have to do a chesed, or even for basic needs, so then the mouth is to be used. But stam, to let it go hefker, even the chirping, which is not, you know, it's harmless, but once you let your mouth go, and once it becomes hefker, then it leads to all kinds of varma asurim. So that's what the Gemara means over here. It says, "Who also ma'isa patit?" He did a ma'isa of chirping. So mimele, he brings birds that chirp. The abla wasn't the starting to chirp. Zokter Yaakov Galinsky is the same thing over here. Yovei davar shebekoil v'yichaper al ma'isa hakoil. The Aveira does not begin with the speaking of the Lashon Hara. The Aveira speaks about letting the sounds go out, and that is the Kapara, and that's a lesson that we have to learn from this bringing of these Korbanos. Ritzel of Petterberg, when he first came to Eretz Yisrael, so right away they wanted to hear shmuzin from him. So he asked him to right away to say a drasha. She said, Miyomai, all my life I was very zohir, that I did not speak until I knew that I had two shomrim, two guards on my tongue. That is the teeth, the Chazal says one guard, and the lips are another guard, that keep the tongue covered. But now that I'm older and I only have one guard, I'm very hesitant to speak. Now another mice, I don't remember if I ever said it here. Rav Mordechai Neustadt, Zichron Levrach, was nifter a couple of years ago. Very much, what? Last year, very much involved with Russian Jewry. That was his life's mission, to go to Russia, to learn with people, to arrange shiurim for them, to be makar of them. So he said over the following maisha. Said one night he was giving a shiur to Mavaksha Hashem over there. Then he said he had to hurry a bit because he has to catch an early flight out of the country tomorrow. Fine. And he was very well acquainted with all the people there. You know, they were at a close-knit group. The next morning, he's in the airport bright and early, and standing with them online is one of the people in the shir. So he thought it a bit strange, you know, I mentioned that I'm going on this flight or whatever, like, why didn't you say anything? So he asked him afterwards, like, why didn't you say we could have gone together or whatever? So he says, you don't understand the Russian mentality. The Russian mentality is, from the time a kid is little, he is trained not to say an extra word. Because you never know who's listening. You never know how it may be held against you. My Zaydal of Hashalom was in Siberia during the war, and he made the mistake of telling his friend a different Rosh Tevis for USSR. Not a complimentary. And he found himself in a gulag for 6 years. He thought this was his friend. And sure enough, quickly he found that it wasn't his friend. It was, an informer. So he says, kids in Russia are trained from the time they're little not to say an extra word. It wasn't necessary for you to know that I'm going on the fly. I didn't say. We don't say an extra word. So that's the way a person has to train himself. That the mouth is not hefker. The mouth is not to be let go loosely. That's the attitude that we have to have. If we do, it would save us from a lot of, dvarim ha'asurim. The Torah speaks about the tzitz. V'hoya al metzchoi tomid. It'll be on his forehead always. L'rotzein lahem l'fnei Hashem. To be an acceptance. Lahem ani Hashem. It's a ma'ila for Klal Yisrael. What does it mean over here when the Torah says l'rotzein lahem l'fnei Hashem? It could have said it's l'rotzein l'fnei Hashem. It's something that Hashem finds desirable. The tzitz was meratza and karbonis that were brought b'tumah. The fact that there was a tzitz, it made it all right in case a carbon was brought b'tumah. But what is this l'rotzein lahem l'fnei Hashem? So Chaim Vital brings down b'shem the Zohar HaKadosh that the tzitz had in it a tremendous kayach. And that was that when a person, a righteous person, that was an honor when he was Balmidas, would pass in front of the tzitz was able to tell that this was a chashuv person, and you could tell on the forehead of the person that he was a tzaddik and he was a tzanua. Lahepach, if a person was a brazen person, he was a chutzpanyak and he had the bad midas, so you could tell on him that it was like that, and right away if he saw the tzitz, he would feel charot, he would break down crying because of his averus, and he would do tshuva. So that's the pshat. L'rotzayin, the kosnei sar, the sefer kosnei sar, says that's l'rotzayin lohem l'fnei Hashem. This was a geirim that anybody that would see the tzitz, he would break down crying because of his aveiris, the chutzpah would be broken down, and that would be oyle l'rotzayin l'fnei Hashem. Those are the sefer kosnei sar. Now, Rabbi Isaac Sher has another limud from the tzitz. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Yuma Dav Zayin Amid Beis. Omar Rabba Bar Rav Huna said, Chayiv Odom L'mashmish B'tfilo B'chol Shoh V'shoh. A person is mechuyiv to touch his tefillin, from moment to moment. Not to be Mesiyah Das from the tefillin, not to take them for granted and to forget about them. Kal V'chomer Mei Tzitz. It's a Kal V'chomer from the tzitz. Why? The tzitz only had one Shem Hashem. It said Kodesh LaHashem. And yet, the tzitz had tremendous Kedusha. And the Torah says, V'hoya al metzchoi tamid, you're not allowed to be Mesiyah Das from the tzitz. The Kohen Gadol had to have it on his mind all the time. So tefillin, that have so many shames that are mentioned in the parshiyos, Alach has kama v'kama. Rav Shimon Schwab says, Tzalitz Yadua, that he spent the Shabbos with the Chofetz Chaim. So he always said over the conversation that he had, the Chofetz Chaim asked him, what did the mon taste like? So he said, it tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. You wanted it to taste like steak, it tasted like steak. If you wanted it to taste like hamantaschen, mon hamantaschen, chocolate hamantaschen. So the Chofetz Chaim asked him, and what happened if he didn't think of anything? So you know what the answer. Even though the Torah says that it tasted kizera, God love him, but he saw the Chofetz Chaim meant to bring out a point. Chofetz Chaim said if he didn't think of anything, it didn't have any special taste. In order for something to have a special time, you have to put thought into it. He says it's like that with the mitzvahs as well. For the mitzvahs to have a special taste, you can't just leave your mind blank and not think about it. You have to put thought into it. So Isaac Sher says that you see from over here, how precious tefillin is when we wear our tefillin. We give it nearly a thought. We put it on quickly in the morning. Say maybe the parshiyos of the tefillin afterwards. But we don't give it thought. But the tefillin, they have so many shemes Hashem. In addition to the shemes Hashem, they have mitzvahs written in them. In addition to the mitzvah, they have oisiyos. Rabbi Akiva al kol koitz v'koitz, he darshan tilim tilim shahalachas. So in the tefillin, when you have these parshiyos with the shemes Hashem, with the mitzvahs, with the kedushas of Oisius and the kaitzin of the Oisius. How much kedusha there is there, if only we would pay heed to it. And that's something that Rabbi Isaac Sher said, we have to learn from the tzitz, to pay machshava to it. Beis HaLevi once saw a younger man, The young man was wearing his tefillin. He says, check your tefillin, that it might be possible. He looked at his tefillin. The young man checked the tefillin out by his sofer, and sure enough, they were possible. So he came afterwards to the Beis HaLevi. The Rebbe had Ruach HaKodesh Mamash. The Rebbe, by looking at my tefillin, he was able to tell that it was possible. He said, B'chol no shaykhs to Ruach HaKodesh. The Torah says, V'ro kolami ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikro alecha v'yoreh mimekra. Tefillin is supposed to bring out pachad. And I saw that when I was looking at your tefillin, I didn't feel that pachad. It must be that there was something wrong. The Beis HaLevi, whenever he saw a pair of tefillin, he saw the Shem Hashem nikro alecha. I didn't feel the pachad. There must be something wrong. But that shows the kedushas ha'tefillin. Somebody once saw the Belzer Rebbe, Reb Aaron. Reb Aaron used to put on his tefillin in his closed room by himself. So somebody once looked through a hole, the keyhole, to watch Reb Aaron's avodah when he put on the tefillin. So first he put on his talis, mitvekus, and then he zips open the tefillin bag. It goes like this. Moves his hand forward, and you were mamish able to see the pachad till he finally was able to work up the courage to put his hand in and to take out the tefillin. Like, that's beyond our hasagas. But at least, if we see how the gedolim, how they treated tefillin, and that's the limit to be taken over here. V'hoy al metzcha itamid. Pasuk goes on to say, actually, this pasuk it says earlier. V'hoyal Aaron l'shores. This is talking about the me'il. There should be on Aaron to be m'shores. V'nishma koiloi b'voyal ha'kodesh l'fnei Hashem. Torah teaches us derech eretz, that when you enter a place, you have to announce that you're coming. To ring the doorbell or knock on the door, you can't just barge in on someone. We learn that from derech eretz. When he came in to do the avoda, the bells were tingling to announce his coming. V'nishma koyloi b'voyei el ha'kodesh l'nei Hashem u'v'tzeisoi v'lo yomus. And when he leaves, and he shouldn't die. Why is the Torah telling us over here? Usually you announce you're coming. You don't usually announce you're going. What does it mean over here? V'nishma koyloi b'voyei el ha'kodesh l'nei Hashem u'v'tzeisoi v'lo yomus. So I saw a beautiful pshat, b'derech drush, of course. I saw a beautiful pshat in the Sefer Likutei Yehuda. V'shem the Ger Rebbe Dimri Amrzeg, it's out of the Kodesh Lebracha. He says that the going in to the Kodesh, the going in to do the Avodah there, has to be done with such a hislahavus that even when you leave, that Kedusha will remain with you. And sometimes when it's over from something, sometimes we're in a matzav of Kedusha, then after the matzav of Kedusha finishes, we go back to our regular places and the Kedusha wears off. Here the Torah tells us, it has to be the kind of a knisa that it'll last with you even when you leave. And he says a very interesting ha'ara. The Gemara in Masechtas Be'ah Daf Tzayin Amud Aleph says that we're given a neshama yaseira on Shabbos. Where do we know it from? Uvayayim hashvi shovas vayino fash. Once Shabbos leaves, vayino fash. Vay of the nefesh. The neshama is lost. The extra neshama is lost. So he asks a question. Why does it say that in the beginning of Shabbos? It tells us when Hashem rested, it's meramis to us on the leaving of the neshama. That should be told to us at the end of Shabbos, not in the beginning of Shabbos. The Teretz says, he says, he gufa. When you makabel Shabbos, it has to be with such a hislahavus, with such a bren, that you're already prepared now that when the neshama leaves, you'll still be left with some of that kedusha, the roishim of the neshama yaseira, and the roishim of the being makabel Shabbos will remain with you afterwards. And that's the pshat over here. V'nishma koyle b'voyei el ha'kodesh. The hislahavus of his avodah of entering the kodesh should be such that it comes with him b'tzeisoi v'loy yomus, and that yaseira should never die down. That should remain with him forever and ever. I'd like to say over a machshava on Purim. Anoops, a nice zach I saw this year. At the end of the Megillah, the last capital in the Megillah, I was always wondering about this. The end, the last capital in the Megillah, it says, Capital Yud, Vayosem HaMelech HaChashverish Mas Al Kol HaMedinois Val Iye Hayam. The Melech HaChashverish placed the tax on all of the countries of the inland and on all of the islands of the sea. I'm just one of the last psukim. Vayosem HaMelech HaChashverish Mas Al Ha'oretz, Al Ha'oretz, not Kol HaMedinois, Mas Al Ha'oretz V'Iye Hayam. Why in the world would I be interested if Achashverosh placed the tax on the people? Tax is not something that we generally, unless you're an accountant and you're busy, and you have a lot of panosa, you know, around tax time, or you're getting a nice rebate, a nice tax return. You know, tax is usually something that we're not so happy with. So why over here? And it's mamish like the peak of the Megillah. Wow, Gevaldig, like who the Moshav and Simcha Achashverosh placed the tax on the Oretz Val Iyeya. So the simple pshat, I saw a pshat from the Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav says that naturally, l'fi the mahalach of everything that happened, there should have been a tremendous backlash on the part of the Goyim against Achashverosh and against the Yidden. And Moshav made a ganze mahala. Haman was the minister. Minister generally, you know, he has respect. You know, Haman was the minister, he was killed. His 10 sons were hung. The Medrash tells us he had 280 sons that were all ministers and all involved. You know, now they cleaned the swamp, so to speak, and a totally new government. And they killed out Amalek, and they killed out Goyim. There should have been a major civil war. There should have been a major backlash, and Achashverosh should have been in a sakana of losing his power. And what happened? The exact opposite happened. Achashverosh was able to impose his strength on the Medinites. Not only didn't he lose any power, but he was able to assess new taxes. So the purpose of this pasuk is to show us that Shalai Kederach HaTeva, instead of Achashverosh losing power, instead of there being a backlash and a war or rebellion against him, Lehepach, he was able to consolidate his power. And he was able to become stronger only because of the Yid. That's mamish of an ahapachu of what one would have expected. And mamish from one minute to the next. Originally, the Yidden were loathsome. They were looked down upon. They were supposed to be killed. The gzeir lahashmid lari labe. And all of a sudden, boom, everything switches. Ad kidei kach, he was able to impose taxes. This is the pshat that the Brisker Rav says. So another pshat b'derev drush. That was the Maisa of the Megillah lasted for 13 years. The entire thing, Mitchilah V'Atzayif, was Be'erach a period of 13 years. In those 13 years, how many major events took place? You make a cheshbon. The Mishtach is Ve'erach 180 days, then another 7 days. That Queen Vashti gets killed. I mean, can you imagine what the newspapers would be like? You know, such a thing happened today. Queen Vashti gets killed. And Achashverosh has charata, he changes his mind. Oh, what did I do? He starts looking for a wife for 4 years. He's looking for a wife. They gather women from all over, a major mapecha. They take women away from their husbands. Unbelievable. And finally, he gets this mysterious woman who does not divulge her identity, garnished, no matter how much he tries. And finally, he's married to her and he makes a mishteh Esther. All of a sudden, there's an assassination attempt. Bixen and Seresh. Headlines, Queen saves King from assassination attempt. Wow, wait a minute. And then Haman, out of, you know, Mamish, this meteoric rise, all of a sudden he rises to power. Shortly afterwards, there's Gzeir Lahashman Larag Abe. And it's Ma'ir the Yidin to Tshuva that the 48 Nevi'im were not able to be Ma'ir them too. Right? And the Seif Dover was that Anaya Kabbalah Satayrit. There's major upheavals going on in the land. What did Achashverosh take from the whole story? Vayosem HaMelech Mas. Vayosem HaMelech Achashverosh Mas Al Ha'oretz V'Iye Hayom V'Zehu. And he didn't even have that, because shortly afterwards he died. Shortly after the Maisa Purim, he died. You know, he wasn't necessary anymore. He was like, thrown out, disposable king. You know, they didn't need him anymore. Right? So, that's what he took out of the whole thing. Vayibim Achashverosh. Who Achashverosh birish osoy mitchilosoy v'atsoyfei. It did not change the mekiyuzeh. Whereas the Yidden were zoyche to Kabbalah Zadayra, whereas the Yidden were zoyche to tremendous tshuva, whereas the Yidden were zoyche to reach a madrega that now they could rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, what did Achash Verish end up with? He ended up with a little bit of money. He assessed taxes, v'zehu, and he wasn't able to enjoy it b'chla. The message of Mordechai and Esther in the Megillah is, don't be an Achash Verish Jr. Purim is a gewaltige time of his alus, of his reimimus. Arizal Kiyadua says, Purim, Kippurim, the tremendous kiddush over there you can accomplish by indulging in Gashmis, what you can accomplish on Yom Kippur by abstaining from Gashmis. It's a tremendous man tefillah. It's his man of Kabbalah Satayra. It's his man of doing chesed with others. It's his man to be Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The kiddush of Purim is Nair Nairoyas. Don't be like Achashverosh, that all you come up with is a couple of extra hamantashen in the stomach. You know, a little bit of Purim geld v'zehu. Don't be Achashverosh Jr. That's why at the end of the Megillah, after all this, it's brought a lesson to us in life in general. You know, life is like one big Purim. You know what to take out of life. You know, don't spend your life, with the Zayt Gezachen. But here on Purim especially, it's a Yom Kodesh, it's a Yom Mesilu for tefillah. And the same way, when it comes to tzedakah, the same thing is said, if we stretch our hands out to Hashem, it's a yom which is mesulah, that Hashem should listen to our tefillahs. You're also going to be zoyche, the zoyche, to Yeshua's, the chamois, maybe this Purim take, or be zoyche, to Vayehuda Moshe Oire, v'simcha v'sos v'mikar. A frailes and Purim, everybody, a good Shabbos.